Nature photography with an iPhone. This is the Wildlife Podcast. Hey, everybody. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wildlife. And I'm back after an absolutely incredible experience up in Svalbard. This wasn't a scheduled departure for Wildlife where I host guests and teach photography. This was a personal expedition, which, number one, was way more difficult than I thought it would be, but also way more rewarding. Discussion for another time. What I did want to talk about today is using your iPhone as a legit second or third camera when you do nature photography. So, off the bat, I'm shooting with an iPhone 15 Pro Max. I went the Max version because it has the 5x zoom, not the 3x zoom that the 15 Pro has. Everything else is the same though. So that's just where I'm coming from. I could have recorded this podcast anytime, I think, from my iPhone 12 because of the quality and what these things can do. So anyway, I went up to Svalbard and the idea was not, it was not a photographic trip, but obviously I want to document the journey for myself and then to share out as well. So I took my OM-1 and a couple of wide-angle lenses, which I did shoot a little bit with, but after the second or third day, I just defaulted straight to the iPhone because the quality is amazing, the versatility is amazing, and it's very easy. It's basically point and shoot, yeah? But what I was looking then is on the planes traveling back from Svalbard, it's funny, it's the furthest trip away from home that I do, but the time zone only changes by 1 hour. So it's pretty cool. It's the same as Kenya, 1 hour different. But on the way back, I started processing some images, and I wanted to talk you through a basic workflow, which I found works very well for me. So I would obviously shoot, and we'll talk about the shooting modes in a second, but I would shoot in the normal camera mode. Most of the time, I would shoot in RAW on the camera. Depending if I want to show movement, I might go to the live. Anyway, so I would shoot the image. I would then from there go and I would make sure that it's the full crop on the Photos app in the iPhone, just open the crop to the biggest version, and then I use Snapseed. Now, Snapseed is a free app. It's ridiculous that it is free because it is so good. But here's the thing, is I have been able to process images from this trip, from my iPhone, that I would argue very few, if any, people would be able to distinguish from images made with an OM-1, because I process them, I edit them, I sharpen them, I noise reduce them, I add my logo, I add a frame, and I'm good to go, right? So inside of Snapseed, if you haven't got it yet, go and get Snapseed. It's a multi-platform app, so you can get it for iOS and Android. But what this thing can do, so when you hit on, you click on Tools at the bottom, once you've opened your image, Tune Image at the top left and Details, those are kind of both the basic adjustments if you talk Lightroom language. But what I started doing, and you can go and play with this, any image, right? HDR scape, tonal contrast, drama, and grunge. Those features. So you click on HDR scape, for example, and it overcooks it dramatically. But you then back it up until you get to like a 15 or a 20, and it adds incredible pop to the image, right? You can save and do it again. It's similar to when you add a dramatic layer in Photoshop and you drop the opacity of the top layer for the bottom one to shine through. So when you select whatever feature it is that you want to add, HDR, scape, drama, whatever the case is, and you drop the intensity down, you get that beautiful balance, right? I was able to bring out the most incredible textures in the mountains and the snow and the soft textures on my iPhone images using this. So the idea that you have to have the best camera, the idea that you have to have the top of the range software, the idea that you must know Lightroom and must, there's a very big argument that you can join photographic safaris with just your iPhone and a couple of apps. I'm just being quiet for a while to let that settle in. Why? Because I posted it on my Instagram. I posted a carousel of 10 images from my expedition, and I wrote a whole big piece about polar travel. And every one of those images for me, very few people will tell that it wasn't taken with a camera because I've edited it to get to my final taste, to what I want to have, right? And I am going to be printing quite a few of them for myself because it was, without being dramatic, it was a life-changing trip for me. More on that later. But the idea that you can use just your phone, edit it on the fly, share it on the fly, export print is just incredible. Now, I'm going back to 2014 or 15. And while I was still quite young, we were still like a toddler. And we were looking at potentially doing, and we would have looked at doing this at the Sabi Sand so that we had signal everywhere. We were looking at doing an iPhone or a smartphone, not to discriminate against the Android people, sorry, to do a smartphone trip where before the trip, we send you a list of apps that you need. Snapseed would 100% be one of them. And then also on day one, run through all the features and settings on the phone. I'm always surprised about how little people know what their phones can do. Exposure lock, exposure shift, focus lock. It's incredible, right? And the versatility of being able to get that thing low down or high up or into funny angles makes for great, great, great images. Anyway, we were looking at doing this trip, and then the idea was download these apps, we use these hashtags, and then we would shoot the whole thing just with your phone. Now, yes, if you're going to zoom in, it pixelates, but the idea is not to zoom in all the way. The idea is to think like the camera you have, which will translate when you use your normal camera and your normal wide angles, right? Because, again, I've said this many times in the past, if someone becomes a wildlife photographer, they start with a 70 to 300 kit lens, they like that, they sell it, they get an 80 to 400. Then they go on another trip, they rent a 600, they think, oh my God, this is incredible. They then only shoot at 600, zooming in on everything, which makes them, number one, lazy, and number two, it makes your portfolio flat, right? But then you have to start pulling back. You start shooting wide angles. That's where the magic is, because compositionally, it challenges you more, and compositionally, it teaches you more. So I've used the iPhone in the field for exactly that. I've shown people how to compose just by quickly turn the camera on and look through the phone, right? Because the one thing that most people struggle with is to take a three-dimensional world where there's depth and translate it in their heads to a two-dimensional frame. So by just quickly clicking and lifting your iPhone up, you can see what the scene translates as. So you can see that now you think there's three trees, but they're all lined up further and further away from each other. But if you flip it to a two-dimensional frame, they're literally on top of each other, like top to bottom. A little hint for you, or a tip if you will, if you're ever out in the field and you have reflections involved or water, take your phone, turn it on, and point it at the scene. You'll be amazed how interesting and how clear reflections become from a photographic point of view. Sometimes your brain doesn't even see it. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, so I was using my phone almost exclusively out in the cold, and I shot a lot of it. And after processing it with a little bit in the Photos app, straight native on iPhone, I went to Snapseed, and the images I exported are insane. I can print them big. If needed, I can enlarge them after the fact with something like Gigapixel. But what I've been able to do with my phone, literally at some stages, I was almost a bit bleak that I took a camera with because of the nature of the trip. It was challenging, man. It was the hardest thing I've ever done physically and mentally. But the phone was easy. I kept it in my pocket of my ski jacket. It's a little pocket that saves the battery. It's a life pocket or something. So the battery wasn't an issue. I only charged once in 5 days in minus 30 degrees Celsius. So not too bad. But again, I think that many of us, and including us and my guides in this, should consider using your iPhone as a dedicated camera. Don't just see it as something to take grab shots or little video clips. This thing has the potential to make you get images you normally wouldn't. It's quick, it's easy, boom, you go, right? I can argue that there's the HDR function where it automatically, through computational photography, does the highlights and the lows and stuff, but you can turn that off. You can shoot just native, yeah? But I think the idea of being able to just shoot is something that a bigger camera like your Sony A1 or your AM1 or your Nikon Z9 or whatever it is, right? There's a barrier to entry. You've got to pick this thing up, point and shoot. Whereas with your phone, I can create images quickly. I know the quality is getting better with each version of the phone. And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving my phone as a dedicated camera, not just as a thing on the side, dedicated camera. So I haven't even looked for this particular trip I just came back from. I haven't even looked at importing them into Lightroom. I did a Photos backup on my laptop. Not a fan of the app, but it has its uses, just as a backup. But I'm still going to take my phone and download all the images that I took in Svalbard now and pump them into Lightroom, right? And then I can play with them from there. So I would love to hear your thoughts. Are you using your phone as a dedicated camera, or is it just something on the side to shoot video clips with? Because that's often how people get in. They just shoot the video clips on the phone and then they kind of share those out. But here's the thing. I know, and I'm pretty sure, that many of you listening are saying, no, I need the 50 megapixel full frame Sony or Nikon or Canon or whatever your brand of choice is. Okay, cool, that's fine. But what are you doing with those big files? Are you just posting them online, on Instagram, on Facebook, and that's it? So what's the point, right? If that's the only thing you do, and you're not doing prints, or you're not doing competitions, or whatever it is, right? Why? And this is a big shift for me. So if you haven't yet, I'm just trying to think, what was the, in episode, I'm going to tell you now, where was this? Episode 480 of this podcast, Wildlife and Nature Photography with the OM System. So I spoke to the guys from OM Systems UK, and they asked me why I've been shooting the brand. So for me, the more I travel, and I've been traveling a lot, I want to enjoy the experience of travel and the experience of photography and the experience of dragging along very big lenses and big cameras and five lenses and two cameras in a bag that weighs as much as your check-in luggage is not fun. It just isn't. For what upside, right? And I asked this to myself as well. For what upside am I carrying all that shit around? Because I post a few on Instagram, I put a few on the Wild Eye website. I'm not selling prints, I'm not doing anything like that. The experience of having a smaller camera like the OM System works beautifully for me. I can have a little carry-on bag that weighs a quarter of most camera bags, and I cover everything from 14 to 600 mils, right? But the phone adds a very new dimension to this. I'm all in. So if you are traveling with me this year, make sure to check what apps you should be downloading, because we will be using that. But it's just, it's a fun thing. You can do things you can't on a camera. You can do certain things easier on a phone than a camera. Yes, I know megapixels. Yes, I know all those things. I'm saying look at this as an option, because it really, really is. Anyway, so if you want to go and check out the Instagram post that I mentioned, I posted the carousel. If you go to my feed, Jerry van der Walt, there's the one picture with snow and two red ski boots with a cup of noodles in between. Go and look at all of those images. They were all done directly on the phone, processed in Snapseed, exported to, on my phone, I use Adobe Express. So there I put a little frame on. No, I lie. I put the frame on in Snapseed. Only thing I do in Express is I put my watermark on at the bottom. So I go shoot photos very quickly just to check the crop. Then I go Snapseed for everything, Adobe Express, and then out. And I could have taken any of those images with a much bigger camera and you wouldn't know. And that's the magic. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. Let me know if you do use your phone as a dedicated camera, or do you just take it along for snapshots on the side and then you forget about it. My recommendation is have a serious look at using it as a second or a third camera and shoot it with that kind of intent. Anyway, good to be back. I will chat to you guys in the next episode. If you have any questions, any comments, any suggestions, Jerry@wildeye.com. I look forward to hearing from you. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Have a good one. Bye for now.